Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
But where I'm at is I'm seeing a like and kind here, and it's like it was done hastily. It was like okay, this is where we're going to put this land. And to be quite frank with you, I'm done with the failures. I'm done. At this time, if I'm sitting here saying I'm going to be a yes vote to this, I'm being total derelict in my duties, because this has gotten to a point of safety now. I'm at my wit's end, being an East Milton citizen. I'm at my wit's end on getting this wastewater treatment plant done. This is something we've been working on since 2009.
Okay, so Kerry Smith, the chairman of the Board of Santa Rosa County Commissioners, District 2, that's East Milton is his area, and he has some very strong words for the city of Milton and the wastewater treatment plant and their request of the county that they approve a conditional use permit for the new location for the wastewater treatment plant that the new city council voted to kill the old wastewater treatment plant that was ready to go, funded, permitted, you know, we've talked about this many, many times. And but, you know, the voters voted in a whole bunch of new people who decided to throw away all the money that they had ready to go and throw away the lawsuit against the mayor and throw away that money. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, okay? But the short backdrop here is at the zoning meeting, you had the request by the city of Milton, hey, we got a new location. Our new location is on, you know, this other land that we were going to use for a different purpose, and now we're going to build the wastewater treatment plant there. We're still working on where we put the spray fields, but, you know, we need a conditional use permit to even really begin the design process. And Kerry Smith says, this is done hastily. I'm through with the failures. It's a dereliction of duty. I cannot support this. So we'll back up a little bit in the conversation. That's a juicy moment. Getting there, we have Rick Delp from Baskerville Donovan, who designed the first plant. And they said that one was going to be fine. I believe that it was, but the Pitchfork Posse had their say, and now it's not going to happen. So now we got the Pitchfork Posse is behind this one. They're in favor of the new location. It's not quite as close to their backyard. Some of them who live on Cooper's Basin. Anyway, Rick Delp.
We believe that this site is much better than the previous site that the plant was designed on.
Okay, so, you know, he says this is a better site. He's the engineer. I'll take him for granted. I thought the other site was going to be fine, but they say this one is better. Take that into account. Jody Yates, the Yates family, the history there, the road, and everything that's been named after the Yates family, they live right in that area, and this new proposed area has a problem.
My only opposition of this is where they're planning on putting it at. There is a natural spring there. I grew up swimming in that natural spring, drinking from it.
In fact, apparently there are two springs there, and if you have springs, you have the possibility of contamination. If the reason we killed the old plant location was because of a possible failure of the plant that would then, you know, I don't know, break in half and discharge stuff into the Blackwater River, it's kind of weird to imagine what they really thought was going to happen, but okay, again, they won the politics. So now at the new plant, don't you have to have concerns about that same thing? Pam Mitchell, leader of the Pitchfork Posse, lives on Cooper Basin, big advocate to move the location, and to her credit and to save Blackwater's credit, always said, we don't oppose a wastewater treatment plant, we just oppose that location. Well, now the new location, which is not that much farther from the old one, it's the location of this proposed spray field originally. It's kind of moving to the east another couple thousand feet, basically north and east of the jail and, you know, the sheriff's complex. Anyway, so she says,
so I really do understand where Miss Yates is coming from, but we worked hard over 4 years to establish a more environmentally responsible location for this plant, That's what this is right now.
So, again, Pitchfork Posse is on board. Sherry Chapman, founding member.
So we need this. We need it for our economy. We need it for our safety. We need this for our community.
Which is true. I mean, which is why I supported the first location. And I would support almost any location you build it because, you know, we need to get people off of septic. We need to increase the capacity to treat wastewater for business expansion and everything. Yes, okay. Larry McKee, one of the new city council members who also voted to kill the old plan.
After achieving a unanimous approval vote from the Santa Rosa County Zoning Board, we come to you today for our approval of our conditional use permit. All identified issues have been addressed. Further delays of approval will have a negative impact on our ability to provide services to the community today and in the near future, and continue to drive up the cost of completing the project that everyone agrees is necessary.
All true, but remember, this city council voted to kill the plant that we already needed to get going on and was already funded at what would have been a lower price. It's now not funded, it's going to be a higher price, and it's going to be delayed a couple of years because of the things that have to take place between then and now. So Ed Spears, the city manager, and by the way, several of the city council people spoke. They were there trying to get the county commission to give this conditional use. Ed Spears, the city manager.
Real enemy we are fighting, however, are the septic tanks. There are over 5,000 septic tanks in East Milton today. Many of those have failed and are directly discharging untreated raw sewage into our groundwater. We can stop that. East Milton today, and more are being put in the ground every day.
Yeah, septic tanks are the enemy. Septic tanks are bad for all kinds of reasons, including basically, you know, functional contamination, either excess or underwater events or any, you know, and if they're not working properly, all of that. Yes, that's exactly right. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you could visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to let you know about right now. Still seeing I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So Ed Spears again says, look, every week we tell people no. Every week we tell people, businesses, residentials, all kinds of folks, that, you know, we cannot service you. We cannot give you wastewater treatment capacity because we are at our limit. And that's true. And so, and just quick recap, there are two issues here. Issue number one is the state has told Milton that they have to get their effluent discharge out of the Blackwater River. That's problem number one. That's the more pressing problem. That's supposed to happen by this year. It's not going to happen by this year because, you know, they have to find, they're building a pipeline right now to pump from the current station that's located on the river downtown to spray fields to get rid of that effluent instead of going into the river for complicated reasons that don't need to be explained a thousandth time. But yeah, they're working on that, but it's not going to happen in time. They're looking for an exception. And then the second thing is building a new wastewater treatment plant itself to replace the current one and to be a higher capacity. And, you know, that's what this is really all about. Kerry Smith, again, when he gets proposed that Milton wants a new location all of a sudden.
I'm a little shocked, to tell you the truth. I'm a little shocked.
And I listened a lot to what Kerry Smith had to say. I get along well with Kerry Smith. Here's him continuing.
And I want to make.
That was when he gave the comment about how this is hastily done. I'm surprised. I don't know what to say. You know, this is dereliction of duty if I vote for this.
I want to make this very clear to this board. We approved this. All we're doing is putting another Band-Aid on this, and we're saying, okay, we're going to sit back and watch our watches and wait for failure. That's what we've been doing. And I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm in the mood to get this done.
So as I'm listening to Kerry, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Because it's obvious that we need the plant. We have needed the plant for like more than a decade. It's obvious that the city is trying to do a different plan. And even though I thought it was really stupid of them to vote down the old plan that was funded and ready to go and permitted and would have been fine, you know, the new plan, they need, this is like step one. They need the conditional use permit before they can put any money into, you know, engineering and design and all that kind of stuff. and they're coming to the county for permission. I'm trying to figure out why would Kerry be saying no to this? And the answer seems to be he doesn't think the city can do it.
What are we going to hear next? I'm going to guarantee you what we're going to hear. We're going to hear funding issues. That's what we're going to hear. I know we're going to hear it. I'm seeing heads shaking, but I know I could bet the farm on it.
And so he seems to be saying, I just don't trust you to do it, which is understandable given that they were on the cusp of doing it before and failed, chose not to, basically kicked away a perfectly good solution. And so he seems to believe that, and I agree that he's concerned that the Pitchfork Posse, which has been kind of anti-development, you know, in fact, part of the theory around the Pitchfork Posse is that they wanted to kill the wastewater treatment. I don't know this is true, but this has been the allegation, that they wanted to kill the wastewater treatment plant because in so doing, you would be able to stop development and stop homes coming in and stop businesses coming in that without the wastewater treatment capacity. But they have consistently, again, Pam Mitchell has very consistently said, we believe in the idea, we just don't want it in this location. And now they're following through on that, offering a location. Is it because they really want that location, or is it because this is a way to placate the concerns while they slow kill it behind the scenes? I don't know. But Kerry Smith seems to think that, you know, it's inconsistent for them to suddenly be pro-development, that they're definitely not going to come through in the end, that it's just, you know, not going to happen.
I do not want any more delays. I do not think it can happen. I'm in the opinion that it will not happen.
So the given thing that he seems to be saying is, I don't have confidence in Milton to pull this off. The possible thing that he's also saying, and this is sort of the uncharitable interpretation of Kerry Smith, is there's a lot of profit in wastewater treatment. There's a lot of money. In fact, one of the things that Spears had told the city of Milton was, we need this plant for revenue. We have all kinds of revenue constraints that are going to start hitting us, and if we can't take on new customers, that's going to be the major source of us developing new revenue as an enterprise fund. If we can't do that, it's going to be bad for us. Well, the county has proposed their own smaller wastewater treatment plant to help service the industrial parks that are really, the development is going fast. I was just driving past there on 87 Saturday and saw all the buildings that are in process. Like, that filling up, okay? They're going to do wastewater treatment for that, but then the question is, what about for the rest of East Milton? Well, maybe the county is thinking, I mean, let's just take it ourselves. Let's do this ourselves, and then we can share. We can get the profit. We can take care of the problem for Milton, and then, you know, we can. And that's kind of the uncharitable interpretation, is that the county's trying to grab this project away from the city. Colton Wright says,
when it comes to the site itself, the spring issue causes me some concern.
Two springs, really.
I didn't realize that there was a spring to the east side of that property right there. I thought we were talking about what was to the west.
And
if we're talking about putting a plant that close to a spring directly to the, I guess it's the northeast corner of that property and the plant, at that point I have to ask, what's the logic with the folks that were in, say, Blackwater River pushing back the first time, and why they wouldn't be concerned about contaminating a spring there? You know, if there was what we've talked about over and over and over again, of the plant having some failure and somehow spilling into Blackwater River at that point, well, now we're going to spill over into a spring.
I agree with his. It's weird the way they're suddenly on board with this location that has potential water contamination issues. Not exactly the same, because you're not talking about hillside runoff, but, you know, similar. Okay, proximity to the Blackwater River is not quite as close, but still not that far. And he says it's weird that you're worried about water so much before, and now you're not worried about water at all.
It does feel as though, hey, we roadblocked one project, and now that we're past that, we're going to try to fast-track another one.
Yeah, I agree with him. So is the concern with the location and the inconsistency of the complaints, or is the issue that the Board of County Commissioners is trying to kind of take over the wastewater treatment plant concept and make the money for themselves? Well, I know Colton, and I think he's honest, and I know Kerry, and I think he's honest. I think in this case, Kerry was trying to be nice and wound up being unclear. So I think the short version is, we can't make sense of what you're saying. we don't trust that this is any safer than the prior location. We need to have more information in order to make this decision. And also, there is the concern that, you know, you guys are incompetent and incapable of doing this yourselves for whatever reason. So they don't want to say no because they don't want to thwart development. They don't want to push back the project anymore. What they wound up doing is moving it back another month to the April 24th meeting. So a lot of drama at the Santa Rosa County. This was the zoning meeting. This is the night meeting. I don't normally watch these, but somebody's like, you need to watch this one. Okay, fine. Fine. And it is a big... I could have done this with the Milton music, but because it was kind of the Milton people coming to beg from the county commission for the permission slip to be able to build the next plant. We'll see how it plays out. I don't know. And I can't say for sure what's going on in the minds of the county planners either. Again, the charitable interpretations, they're all telling the truth. They just don't think Milton's, you know, arguments add up or their willingness to do this adds up. Uncharitable interpretations that they're trying to, you know, take millions of dollars of profit away from Milton and use it themselves. Which kind of, I mean, even if you don't think they're just trying to take the profit, there is an argument to be made that the county is going to maybe manage things more responsibly. Milton City Council. Though I hate to say it, because Milton needs the cash. I mean, Milton needs the money that they were expecting to get from that. And I don't know, but that they become century if they can't manage to make this project pay off for them. But these are all, you know, speculative things. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
I'm still dealing with permission slip. I have to get a permission
slip.
Well,
it is a conditional use permit. It's a permission slip. It's a, okay, yeah, go ahead. You can try.
No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you're headed up to Five Points, just know that the light is flashing at Five Points right now, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture, but what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh my God, we might have died. I can't think.
It's okay. If you need to, you go right ahead and vomit.
Good morning, 628, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Getting colder throughout the day today. 62 now, 52, 53, something like that later. Do be aware that there could still be some standing water in some of the places that flood normally because we got some intense rain this morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. TikTok is getting a 75-day extension to continue its operations in the U.S., that announcement from President Trump on Truth Social. Apparently, a deal to sell TikTok to a new company fell through after the tariff announcements ByteDance previously had until April 5th to divest from the app or face a ban.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They seem to be on the verge of a deal, and then Trump put in the tariffs, and China said, unless you eliminate the tariffs, we're not going to do the ByteDance deal. We're not going to do the TikTok sale. Leverage back. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But obviously, Trump putting a pause on the closure to see if they can reconcile all of this.
Women apparently may have better hearing than men. This is according to a new study published in the Journal of Scientific Reports.
Funding
reports.
For something so obvious.
I'm well,
this
sorry.
Was, this was just before. In study finds. Sky is blue. Longitudinal study for 25 years.
This
what?
Was before the Doge cuts, okay?
Sorry,
go on.
This
study looked at people in different countries around the world and found that, in general, women have more sensitive hearing than men by a measure of about 2 decibels. News to nobody there. And
did you hear what I said? Honey, are you listening?
My wife always complains that I don't listen to her, but I've never heard her say it. Go on.
And the conclusion to this saga we've been following, Alex Ovechkin is now the all-time leader in goals scored in the NHL. He beat Wayne Gretzky's record over the weekend, scoring his 895th goal.
Can I be the one to say this? This means we don't have to hear this story anymore, though, right?
Well, I guess.
We're not, we're not going to have, like, a follow-up every next time he scores a goal. That now Alex Ovechkin is 3-plus Wayne Gretzky. 4-plus Wayne Gretzky. No?
Well, I'm just trying to get Wayne Gretzky's name back out there.
All right. That's fair enough.
I'm still holding
that.
On to a Wayne Gretzky rookie card.
By
I want it to be
by
worth
By the way,
something.
Statistics also show that women spend more time wondering what men are thinking than men spend thinking.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump says he doesn't want stocks to go down like they have been since his announcement about tariffs on most imports, but sometimes you have to take medicine to fix something.
I spoke to a lot of leaders, European, Asian, from all over the world. They're dying to make a deal, but I said, we're not going to have deficits with your country.
The president on Air Force One. A House vote is expected this week on a Senate-passed budget plan. Some Republicans want more spending cuts and deny it'll come out of benefits.
No one in Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security is losing any of their benefits that are due them. What we're trying to do is cut the waste and fraud out of any of those programs.
I don't think you can find $800 billion in just waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicaid and not cut people's benefits.
That's Senate Republican Mark Wayne Mullen and Democrat Chris Coons. They were both on Fox News Sunday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now it is cloudy and 62 degrees in Pensacola. Hundreds of folks attended a hands-off protest on Saturday at Graffiti Bridge. Organizers say they want the Trump administration to keep their hands off their rights. Retired Florida judge and author Laura Melvin was a speaker at the gathering.
The first three words in the Constitution are, we the people. And we the people have the power. And when one or more of those branches are not doing their job, it's our responsibility to step up as we are today and speak out. Don't fold to fear.
And Melvin tells Channel 3 she is supportive of the judiciary, but believes the legislature is letting Trump do their jobs. Other hands-off protests in Florida were held in Daytona Beach, Orlando, South Beach, and there may have been as many as 1,200 of the protests nationwide. The Pensacola Humane Society is looking for help to identify 2 porch pirates that made off with their donations. The items were dropped off over the weekend by a Good Samaritan. About an hour later, video surveillance footage caught a person walking away with the items. The Humane Society says they do help struggling pet owners, but you have to ask before you take things. They operate the Pet Pantry, where they distribute free items to pet owners in need. The video posted on the Pensacola Humane Society Facebook page. They are looking for help to identify the alleged thieves. Governor Ron DeSantis has proposed a plan that would dole out $1,000 checks to homesteaded property owners across the state. He says that money would reduce the amount of property tax they're paying, but some lawmakers aren't on board with
that
plan.
There's no government handout that's conservative. So the fact that if this government handout proposal is coming from DeSantis doesn't suddenly make it conservative. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's taking sales tax, and it's literally just giving out money to a specific subset of Floridians.
That's District 2 State Representative Alex Andrade. He says Governor DeSantis proposing the plan is no different than Joe Biden proposing student loan forgiveness. And he said neither of those plans are conservative. Well, Dennis the Menace, the actor who played him anyway in the 1960s sitcom, Jay North, has passed away.
This is Dennis. Can I speak to Joey for a minute? Heck no. Ron doesn't care if I use the phone too much. He doesn't even know about it.
North had been fighting cancer now for a number of years. He passed away at his home in Lake Butler on Sunday. He also appeared in other shows such as The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Lassie, General Hospital, and The Simpsons. And state troopers are looking for a motorcyclist who allegedly fired shots at another vehicle in Hillsborough County over the weekend. A victim told Highway Patrol investigators he saw a group of motorcycles driving erratically, weaving in and out of marked lanes. When the victim started recording the motorcycles with his cell phone, he said that's when the suspect fired several shots at his car. The investigation into that is still ongoing. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Not seeing any accidents still. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Taking a look at Highway 90, I'm not seeing any delays. If you're at 5 points, just be aware that the light is flashing there. So just respect it. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much, John. And cooling off a little bit today. Right now we're at 62 degrees, cloudy skies. And our next news is at 7 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields dropped again this morning amid recession fears after President Trump announced his new tariff policy. The 10-year Treasury yield fell by over 5 basis points to 3.936%. The 2-year Treasury yield dropped over 16 basis points to 3.52% and hit its lowest level since September of 2022. Trump's top economic advisor, Kevin Hassett on ABC, said that more than 50 countries targeted by President Trump's tariffs have reached out to begin negotiations. U.S. stock futures have opened sharply lower this morning as a result. Easter is almost here, and Krispy Kreme has some new donuts to celebrate. The donut chain has unveiled its Hoppy Easter collection that features 3 new Easter-themed flavors and a returning favorite, all available in custom Easter dozen boxes. Futures are sharply lower. Dow futures down by more than 600 points amid recession fears. Friday, the Dow lost 2231. The NASDAQ lost 962. That's your money now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Every facility study we've done, Commissioner, has said the Bay Center is the Bay Center for an arena. If you're talking about being in the game of sports tourism, youth sports tourism, we were always woefully short in the large indoor venue. Multi-purpose venue.
All right, so the Escambia County Commission had a committee of the whole meeting, COW we call it. I don't know. Well, we do, but anyway, it's a terrible name. But there it is. And this is it's an opportunity to discuss a particular topic where they aren't, you know, sunshine doesn't keep them from talking to each other. Sometimes they hear from the public. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they hear from invited parties. They don't make official decisions at the COWs. It's more just an opportunity for them to talk amongst themselves. Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports. Pensacola Sports wants an indoor sporting facility. And remember, when it comes to the Bay Center, there's two different questions. Question number one is, what kind of renovation do we have? Mayor Rees is really good about setting up this distinction.
I hope that this conversation today can begin with this common ground, defining the level of renovation of the Bay Center itself that's necessary for our city and for our county to have a facility it can be proud of.
Right. The Bay Center is an event venue, an arena, a performance environment. Like, that's its strength. And what do we need to do in order to make that better for the future so that we can enhance the size of the arena, so that we can have better and bigger facilities, better and bigger performers, and take care of, you know, like, for example, the Ice Flyers or commencements and all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's number one. The second question.
The second part is about a potential second facility. I know there's conversation in this study around many things, and studies, excuse me, around many things. A sports facility, ice rink, conference center, and we've even thrown in outdoor soccer and football into the mix recently.
Right, because we're talking about a possible, you know, soccer team coming to Pensacola. Building a soccer stadium is a fundamentally different enterprise than building a conference center, which is a fundamentally different enterprise than building an indoor sports facility. There's might be some overlap with some of these and a full-time ice rink, but it is generally another fourth opportunity. Like, there's four or five different things you could build as second buildings. We cannot build all of them. An effort to try to build multiple of them into one is going to be a problem because none of them will be done well. And these are all things that are different from what the Bay Center is. So he's right. Number one is how to fix the Bay Center and to what purpose. And number two, what should your second facility be? Because you really could want almost like four or five facilities. We're not going to build four or five. We just got to pick which one to go with next. Now, Pensacola Sports, Ray Palmer, what they want is an indoor sporting venue to have, you know, basketball and volleyball and tournaments of the sort where you'd bring in high school athletes and they would have these spaces to compete in.
Numbers are huge. And that's why everybody in the country is trying to build it. And everybody says, oh, well, be careful, don't overbuild. Absolutely, we need to be careful. But in our market, they want to come here. They don't want to go to Oklahoma. They don't want to go to Oklahoma City. They want to come to Pensacola, Florida. We've heard that for all of my 25 years. Build it, Ray. We'd love to come.
Yeah, I mean, Pensacola has a lot of advantages as a tourism site, right? We know that. One of our big industries is tourism. So thinking about who would want to come here as a hybrid tourism plus, and Pensacola Sports is saying, well, people would want to come here to play indoor sports tournaments. We could make an awful lot of money off of that, because if they have the choice between going here or going to Oklahoma, where would they rather go? Even between us and Jacksonville or Orlando, where would they rather go? You say, well, Orlando's got advantages. We have beachfront. Everybody wants to go to the beach. And if you're going to bring in some high school sports tournament to play, let's say, you know, basketball, because you need multiple courts is what you need. You can only fit one volleyball court. You can only fit one basketball court in the Bay Center. And it cannot be expanded, not reasonably, to accommodate, you know, 6 or 8 or 10. And so if you did, or even 4, okay? But if you could do that, suddenly you can run a tournament over a course of a weekend. You could really make these things work. Now, before I get too much further down the, like, what happened in the meeting, which was a very interesting meeting, I do want to give some credit where it's due. You remember we talked about last week the whole, you know, the Escambia County Commission telling the city council members that they were not a part of this as a joint meeting, that they could come and speak at the dais, that they could, you know, come and bring their tribute and their garlands and their honors and their bows and their curtsies and, you know, please, sir, may I have a little more time, you know, kind of begging the county commission. I said it was a really bad look for the county commission. Mike Kohler didn't quite come out and apologize for that, but he did try to set a different tone when he introduced the meeting and brought some of the city council members into the conversation.
All right, what I'd like to do and set some parameters here is anyone that's speaking today, and I know the mayor, if you guys would like to come up to the front tables, I think it would be a little bit more cozy and instead of the dais. But what the intent of this meeting is, and I'll just go back to kind of my Navy days, this is kind of where we have an informational brief of what everyone would intent is, what they would kind of like. I'm looking forward to the discussion today. There's no 3-minute clock. I just ask everyone to be respectful and reasonable, and that we have as much good dialogue this morning as we can.
And he did. You know, I mean, he had the mayor talk, Allison Patton, city councilwoman talk. He offered Charles Bear to talk, and he said no. It's kind of surprising. I've never heard Charles Bear say no to mic time, but, you know, he did, which, I mean, you know, he didn't need to speak. The things that he would want to have said had been said by Allison Patton and D.C. Reeves. So, in any case, you know, that wound up being good. So, as I said, the mayor spoke, and the mayor, you know, obviously he talked about there being the need to get the Grand Hotel in line, because we all been wondering what in the hell's going on with that thing and why can't that come back online. We keep hearing updates. Well, they're working, they're renovating, okay, and it's a private property, so we can't make it do stuff, but there might be leverage elements. But the main thing that the mayor said in this conversation had to do with developing an area master plan or a comprehensive plan. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with the new annual contract. You can call Insect today. Still reporting no accidents right now. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. And we've got some minor delays just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge as you approach Wind Haven Beach, so just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home or just have a question about real estate, give Christina Leavenworth a call or folks at Leavenrinke Realty. She and her folks sold 175 homes in 2023, 165 homes last year. They sell about three and a half homes a week, week after week after week after week. You know, sometimes it's 6, sometimes it's 2, but it's a lot of houses that they sell. And you might be wondering things like, well, how are the tariffs affecting home prices, if so? So far, how are interest rates, or how are anything else that's going on in the market, or, you know, how are rentals doing these days? Because, you know, you might have always thought, well, we want to buy a rental home, or we want to, you know, short term or long term. Is that a good investment? She can help you figure that out. She was talking on Pep Talk about this the other day and talking about how the basic problem with rentals right now is that the people who have them don't want to sell them because they've got really good interest rates. And, you know, even though rents are off a little bit, it's, you know, it's a dicey situation. So at least she can give you better input on whether that makes sense for you or not. So give her a call. Ask her a question. You don't have to be a client. Maybe you become one. Maybe you don't. She just loves talking to people about real estate. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Back to the conversation around the Bay Center. The mayor, D.C. Reeves, says,
second, I propose that the city step up at our expense, but with your direct input, to tie all of this work and these discussions together with a district development master plan, something that doesn't just focus on requested venues, but on the immediate surrounding area, around community engagement, around connectivity, urban design, traffic impacts, and more.
A real comprehensive master plan for the vicinity around the Bay Center instead of just this isolated thing on its own. Really think about that area and what makes the most sense in terms of developing the Bay Center, because you've got things like the east lot there that's currently parking, where people have proposed putting a building. You've got the tech park to the south, right? You've got the, I mean, the Holliston Williams is a little, not exactly next door, but pretty close. That's kind of coming in the future. And really thinking about the whole area, because, for example, parking is going to be a challenge. You know, if you get rid of the parking lot, where do people park? Okay, well, how do you solve that? And it's not so much just a Bay Center problem. It's a future of that vicinity problem.
A development master plan would include digesting every previous study of the Bay Center and proposed facilities over years of time to provide data-driven economic analyses of each type of proposed venue and give recommendations on what works for our community, our citizens, and gives our taxpayers the best return on investment.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, there's, you know, been a lot of studies. He actually mentioned that. There's actually a study going on right now. ASM, the owners of the Bay Center, the operators of the Bay Center, are studying what's the best way to renovate the Bay Center. And the mayor says, well, I mean, we should be doing both of these at the same time, do them in conjunction with each other. And he says,
now, I'm aware of the analysis fatigue that you have and we all have and these citizens have, and I couldn't agree more. But we've come this far, and we're talking about $100 million that we need to get right. Putting a collective bow on this together with a comprehensive plan is important to our city. Also important, I would commit that if we work together on this, we would have this final concept master plan completed this fall.
So he wants to do it pretty quickly, and he gets that everybody thinks another study isn't the best way to go. By the way, just don't forget in this conversation, we've already got the Surfside Pickle? What is the name of the place that they're building at the port? When we were riding the ship last week, we were looking at it. That's an indoor sports venue, too. Now, I don't know how much they're going to want to give up pickleball configuration for volleyball and basketball, but, you know, that's something to keep in mind as well. So the mayor says, let's do a study. The city will pay for it. What we bring to the table is not just the study and the information it gives about whether it makes more sense to do a conference center or an indoor sports facility or a dedicated ice sheet or something else entirely. We'll do that. By the way, also the city he's clearly expressed that the city is going to bring money to this conversation in terms of for the construction of the Bay Center, which, you know, if you're going to buy a seat at the table, you're going to have some skin in the game. That makes sense. But Stephen Barry, I'm going to play it and then I'm going to explain it. But I'll say that Stephen likes to be in charge. And he doesn't like other people having the idea that they're going to be in charge. Okay? Now, there's reasons, but let me play the clip and then I'll kind of explain it. Because here goes.
Historically, we've had, you know, a little bit of issues with master plans that were, you know, that were paid for by, you know, that were paid for by another entity, and then our board, you know, having an expectation that we would be bound by that. And in this case, hopefully there will be other funding partners, you know, public and private. But even with other funding partners, I think the majority of the funding is still going to come through the debt placement of this board, maybe not the majority, but a large portion of funding is going to come through a debt placement of this board. And I just don't want there to be an interpretation or an expectation that we're going to be bound by the feedback from a study that, regardless of what it says, I mean.
Look, if y'all want to do your little study, okay, you want to do your little master plan, you know, that's fine. But we're making the decision, city. Ultimately, the bucks come from us, and he's right. The majority of the money's probably going to come from the county, and the county's going to own it. And, you know, we're not going to be told what to do by your little study. Now, there's a little bit of it's understandable because, like, the master plan for OLF 8, right, was paid for by, Navy Federal, right? And so him feeling like they are at odds over this, with they're hamstrung by what the master plan came back with, which, you know, how dare you involve the citizens, you know, right? We have our plan for what we want to do with, you know, OLF 8. And, you know, he feels like all of the criticism for having done nothing at OLF 8, and, I mean, that is a giant nothing so far, that was partially a byproduct of the fact that they involved the citizens and, I mean, he didn't say it this way, but involved the citizens and or that they had a master plan designed by somebody else, you know, those stupid DPZ people, globally known master planners, and stupid Navy Federal, you know, like, I mean, they're making it so he's getting bad press over not having done anything at OLF 8, and in the back of his head, he's thinking, here we go again. the city is going to pay for this study. It's going to make us look bad if we don't do what the study says, and we're not going to be told what to do by your study.
They're advisory, and they're, you know, and that's great. But, you know, if the study says the county should do X, Y, and Z, I don't want that to come with an expectation that that's going to bind our board to do X, Y, and Z. I mean, we're still, you know, for our part of it, we're still the majority of us, the, you know, at least three of five up here are going to make the decision about what happens.
We are still in charge in this county. I'm being a little uncharitable. I get it. I get in the back of his head, he's thinking heavily about OLF 8. But also, bro, the city's coming with money. The Downtown Improvement Board's coming with money. The city's coming with a study that is going to tie everything all in together and try to figure out what's the best return on the investment. And I think that part of him is thinking in the back of his head, you're not going to tell me what to do. I've got my own concerns. I've got my own concerns. I've got my own donors. I got the people that I'm accountable to that may not be all the people, but, you know, I'm just not going to do whatever your study says, and I just want you to know that in advance.
So that it's not thinking that another entity is going to make a decision that then just comes to us to rubber stamp that. I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, so we know where he stands. And by the way, Lumen May said essentially the same thing. Even Steve Stroberger said essentially the same thing, that he was kind of on board with that way of thinking. And there's truth to it. The county's going to put most of the money in. So you got this kind of odd hybrid scenario where a bunch of different investment partners are going to bring money to the table, including perhaps private investing, and you're going to make this decision. And they want the money and the participation so those people can have a say, I guess, but then they want to have the ultimate say, and so we got a little bit of a control issue going on here. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Just one accident to let you know about that happened on New Warrington Road and Perdido Street. The road is completely open, and I'm not seeing any delays, but I wanted you to be aware that it was there. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from PinAir Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from PinAir is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a PinAir home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at PinAir.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQuil.
ZQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
Uses directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, get pumped up for some high-energy fun from classic rock cover band Class X at the Gulfside Pavilion. Class X features two powerful lead vocalists and a vast array of material from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. It's at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, the news radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ah, you fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia.
Also, never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line. 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, markets down around the world as investors continue reacting to the tariffs. In pre-market trading in the U.S., signs pointing to a sharply lower open today. Over a million people hit the streets for anti-Trump protests over the weekend. Rallies held in all 50 states, apparently even around the world in response to the Trump administration. One of those was at Graffiti Bridge here in Pensacola. And no surprise here, a Minecraft movie doing even better than expected at the box office. It made $157 million for its first weekend in theaters.
Huge. Huge weekend.
And yes, my son went to see it.
Did he go see it?
Yes.
All right, my boys are real eager to see it too.
Oh, boy.
All of them. Man, I just hope when we go see it, I'm going to get enough of the jokes. Like, I think I probably will at least get some of them, but I'm sure a lot of it is going to be for the players, and I am at best a barely player.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Golf.